Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Icarus, you head into the farmhouse. It is a very rustic living situation. This, again, much like parts of the village and parts of the surrounding area, you feel like this house could have been in this family for tens of generations. It has been updated, it has been built upon, it has been renovated, but it has quite a cozy atmosphere. But also, you can just tell that the energy of this room is a sad energy. It's just this man. You think if there is a partner in the picture, they're not here presently. He extends a hand.
I am Joseph Rodin, he says. I don't know if you knew that.
Joseph, it is a pleasure to meet you. My name is Icarus Fortune, but my friends call me Ike, and I hope that we can be friends.
He sits down. I have already told the local press everything. I do not know what else there is for you to know, but I ask your way.
Yeah, I'm from America, and there is this sort of thing lately where people are interested in true crime stories, stories that grip a nation. And what we're trying to do here is obviously in your small town. I believe Toby is the first of 5 disappearing children. Is that correct?
About 2 weeks ago, he disappeared. 4 children.
Four, of course. I can't count.
Oh.
Well, I can't Americans, read, you can't yeah. count.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, I can tell you everything that I know, but I do not think it will be very gripping for your audience.
Well, let's see if I can weave some of my magic. Toby was the first. What was the gap between Toby and the last, Sabrina?
I believe Sabrina went missing around 3 days ago now, and Toby was about two weeks ago. They all went missing in the same way from their bedrooms at night. But perhaps this news has not reached you. They have caught the culprit. You do know this, yes?
The teller.
The culprit is currently at the police station. A clochard, a tramp. He was seen around the houses where the children went missing, and the police have detained him, and I believe soon he will be taken to court.
Did he confess?
No, he seemed quite mad, but the police are convinced, so.
Are you convinced?
I do not know what to think.
What was Toby like?
He was a good kid. He was playful. Helpful around the house. I guess you'd make a wits empathy roll.
While that's happening as well, I want to be walking around the property looking for any clues or anything like that.
You're walking around the house. You're kind of like looking in windows. You kind of see the backyard. Maybe there's like a bike or something leant up against the wall. There doesn't seem to be much of note, but you do note the kid's bedroom. You can tell from looking in through the window, and you can see maybe some toys, some wooden toys on the kind of windowsill, and then looking in, you can see a kid's bed.
Is it on the first floor?
Yeah, there's only one story, okay. Only one floor. You can tell that discussing what kind of a kid Toby was has kind of upset Joseph. He's reminiscing, and it's kind of bringing him to a bad place. Maybe you can see, like, tears are forming in the corners of his eyes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know this is very painful for you.
I've just been over it so many times already.
I know. But Toby, you know, we've all been kids on properties, and we run around and play games, and did we ever see my accent is changing every time I speak? We all play games and have kind of fun and do all that. And I mean, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend who I used to play with. Did Toby have an imaginary friend?
I'll get you to make a presence. What is it to make this not sound like the craziest thing to ask someone?
Socialize?
Yeah, presence socialize. Let's call it that. To just slip that baffling question under the radar. Yeah. Joseph sits back in his chair on the imaginary. What is, I do not understand how this is relevant. Huh?
imaginary friend.
The way this story works, Mr. Roden, Joseph, Joe, can I call you Joe?
I would prefer Mr. Roden.
Absolutely you would. Joseph, I call him Mr. Roden.
Yeah, you gotta be polite.
What I've got to do here with the article and the piece we write is we try to rather than focus on the details of the disappearance, but to get to know the kids themselves. So I'll be interviewing the other families as well and asking them similar questions about, you know, things that Toby did. Did he play football like the other local kids would? Did he have a favorite band? Did he have an imaginary friend? Those kind of things, to really flesh him out.
Well, no, he did not have an imaginary friend. He was a good, hard-working, playful kid. He played with his toys. He had friends in town.
Was he friends with the other kids?
I think they knew each other, but I do not know if he was friends. The age difference is quite large between some of them. He certainly might have hung around with Anita, but most of the time, not really. They were friends. At the kid's bedroom, Mikhail, are you looking for anything in particular?
I want to search through. Do we know when he was taken?
He was taken about 2 weeks ago.
Like what time specifically?
It wasn't in the information pack.
Okay.
So you're not sure.
Basically, I want to do what Icarus is doing, but without talking to people. So I'm going to, if I see like drawings, I'm going to look through the drawings. If there's one of those like classic, like, kid is holding mom and dad's hand and there's a big black thing in the background. I'm looking for that sort of stuff. I'm looking for any strange out of the ordinary, like maybe salt or ash or something like that on the floor.
Maybe, like, you figure out you can push open the window to the bedroom from the outside.
I make a note of that as well, actually. That's interesting, that I can get in without too much trouble.
You notice that on the like sill, and even on the windowsill on the outside, like where it is exposed to the elements, there's no dust. It's shockingly clean.
Does that ring any bells for me?
No, not really.
Okay.
There's nothing specifically occult related to this.
I don't think this is like this area is just well used. There is like a conspicuous absence of dust.
Yeah, probably there should be dust on at least the outside section of the windowsill.
Mm. Okay. I'm still outside, right?
Yeah.
If it's on the windowsill, I want to look from the window out. What can I see?
From where you are, you're in like quite the outskirts of town. You're not even really in town anymore. If you imagine the town as concentric rings, this is like the furthest ring before it's just fields and wheat.
Mm.
And you can see from looking out the window, you can see the river. You can see that the river extends like alongside the sort of town, and you can see that there is a path that extends past this house towards and over a bridge near the river, like probably around like a maybe 50 meters away, something like that. You can see in the distance there's a bunch of hills. On tops of these hills, like I said, there are like copses of trees and occasionally some have buildings on them. But nothing really conspicuous other than
that. Does that river go into town?
It goes past town, but not through the town or anything.
How far is the river from me?
About 50 meters.
I'm going to walk over to the river and I'm going to have a look there.
We'll get to you in a second. All right, inside the farmhouse, what are you doing? What questions are you asking?
Keep going along that thing to learn more about Toby, what he did, was he friends with the kids, and I guess, did Anita ever come to his house, or did they only hang out at, like, you know, football and, you know, basically all those kind of broad
questions? Yeah. Joseph pretty much gives you the picture of the kid that he, given that he was sort of like living out here on a farm where there's a lot of hard work, he didn't go to school very often, and certainly Anita or none of the other kids ever came to their house. I assume you would ask as well, like, about more practical things, like the times he went missing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He tells you that, well, we put him to bed at around 8 p.m. at night. He had a bit of a late night. And then we, at around 6 in the morning, I woke up to go out and milk the cows. And I checked in his room and he was missing.
Any doors or windows or anything like that open?
We had the window open because it has been hot recently.
Summer, of course. You say we, your wife?
My wife. She is not here at the moment. She is.
She works in town.
Oui.
What does she do?
She is a florist.
Oh, lovely, lovely. How is she going?
She is also struggling as I am. But we are making a go of it. We are trying to move on. And I mean, if it is the Clochard, the tramp, who is to blame, then, well, him being brought to justice will be gratifying, I suppose.
Just talking to this man, Jackson, can I tell either A, does he believe it is Clouchard? And also B, does he believe Toby is dead?
You think he doesn't think that the Clouchard, which is just French for like a bum.
Okay, sorry, I thought it was the guy's name.
No, that's on me. I should have explained that. But you think he isn't convinced that that guy is to blame? They haven't found the bodies yet, obviously, and so he feels like it's a bit of a stretch. But you can kind of get the vibe that he kind of wants it to be true, because then he has an explanation. As for whether or not Toby is alive or dead, you think he's in that place like a mourning parent would be, especially with no body, where he hopes that this kid is alive, but he just doesn't know. So it's kind of hard to gauge that specific part of it. Down by the river, Mikhail. So the river, it's kind of got like it's decently sized. It's big enough that there needs to be a bridge across it for cars and carts and people to get over the river. And alongside it, there are kind of trees, and it's quite a pleasant sort of picture, really, this river. Are you going to any specific part of it? Are you going to the bridge? Are you going just down by the bank? Are you going...
I want to go to the bank, basically the closest part of the river to the house. Mm-hmm. And I want to look for anything out of the ordinary there, and then I would make my way towards the bridge, we'll say.
You give a decently thorough investigation of the bank, specifically closest to the house, but you don't really come across anything notable there. It just seems like the bank of a river, it pleasantly tinkles by you.
Something I want to look out for is signs of children have played here, so something like a swing or a treehouse or anything like that.
There's nothing at this particular part of the river.
Okay.
You head up to the bridge, though?
Yeah, I want to move towards the bridge.
At the bridge, you find a little bit more. Clearly, somebody lives here. But the first thing that really strikes you, and because you're walking along the bank, you're kind of going under the bridge, is a large drawing. And it's on the kind of underside of the bridge. It's made of chalk, right? Like it's a drawing done in chalk. And near this drawing, you can also see effectively like the camp of a homeless person. So there's some blankets laid down to form a kind of bed. There's maybe like some cigarette butts. There's evidence that somebody has been camping out here. Maybe not permanently, but at least for like a decent amount of time. You can see even like next to the drawing, there's like a little, maybe like a bit of fabric that has some cracked bits of chalk in there. You can see the only bits of chalk in there are pink, blue, and red. And what's been illustrated is basically the opposite of the view that you saw from that kid's window. So, looking back into town.
Okay.
Done in reds and pinks and blues. So, it's kind of hard to make out, you know, like the wheat is pink and the road is red. The sky remains blue because, well, he could do that, but...
How good is the drawing? Is it like...
Pretty good. Yeah, okay. Pretty good. It's good enough that it's quite legibly, like there's good perspective, there's shading been done to the best of whoever made its ability. You're like looking over this chalk drawing, right? Like you're just sort of like examining it. Maybe you're looking specifically at the farmhouse, and you can see at the window you looked out of, maybe that's almost immediately where you go. At the window of the farmhouse, there is like, whereas the rest of it is quite well drawn, this seems shockingly like vague, I guess, as to what it is. But like a long tube done in red is coming out of the window. And kind of tapering off to a point, almost looking, I guess, kind of like a snake, is coming out of the window.
It's coming out of the window.
Mm.
I take a photo of this.
Inside the farmhouse, is there anything else that you're trying to discern, Ike?
No, just, I guess, when did the police decide it was the Clouchard who had committed the crime?
That was very recently. I think yesterday morning.
And did they say to you why they felt it was him?
They said that he had been seen by some of my neighbors skulking around my child's bedroom window. And in town as well, around the windows of some of the other children, apparently.
Is he a local? Has he been in town forever? And...
Occasionally you get people who are tramping through Limousine, this part of France, and they go from town to town. We do not mind necessarily, but... I suppose this time, if he is indeed the culprit, then...
Do the other families believe he is the culprit too?
Well, I do not talk much with the other families. We have sort of drifted since our children have gone missing.
Well, look, thank you. I might come back and talk to you again, or perhaps...
Of course, if my wife is back, yes.
Or could I see her at her floristry establishment?
Yes, I'm sure you must understand we are quite fragile, so perhaps waiting until she is at home and not at
maybe
work.
Maybe come and talk to you together. That's probably
would be
a wise
probably
idea.
Probably ideal, yes.
Absolutely, Mr. Roden. I completely understand. Look, I hope that we can help shed some more light, and maybe through our investigation we can find out where the children are if the bum is not so forthcoming.
He stands up, kind of like indicating that maybe this is over, but he extends a hand. Well, I hope so.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Joseph.
I wish you luck. And he gestures for you to leave.
I leave.
You head out back to your car. You notice that Mikhail is not, he's not at the car.
So, I can't find any evidence of the person who is staying here, can I?
Evidence like what?
Oh, like when they would have been here last, maybe, if they're coming back. Do they have all of the... Is there, like, stuff that I think they wouldn't leave behind here?
Yeah, you think so. You think it would... That probably, like, the bedding and stuff, you probably... If you were going to keep traveling, you would probably want to take it with
I'll
you.
I'll head back to the house, just at least...
Even the chalk, to be honest. Yeah.
I'll head back to the house, if nothing else, than to talk to Icarus about what I found.
Well, the two of you, maybe you Icarus, are just, like, waiting, leaning on the car, but eventually... Mikhail returns from the river.
I'm going to be, like, dusting my knees off or something like that. Maybe I got a little dirty on my way.
I would like to have searched the entire car to see if there's anything interesting in it.
Can you pick a lock?
I assume the car's locked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm searching under, like, the wheel wells.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, you wouldn't find anything unless you're getting into the car, I don't think. I'm not hiding anything in the wheel well.
Wish I knew how to pick a lock. I could try.
You could.
It'd be so funny if I picked the lock and you got back and I was just sitting in the driver's seat.
It would
smoking.
Be very fun because I know what I want to do. I've got a funny little trick that I want to play.
Jackson, I'm going to try to pick the car.
Yeah, you're successful.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You pick the lock of the car, you can get inside.
I open it, and the glove box?
Is the glove box also locked?
The glove box probably would also be locked.
You're going to make another go at it?
No, I'm going to just check the glove box to see if it's been fiddled with in any way. Can I see, like, oh, there's a bomb tied to the glove box? Or
yeah, if you bombed the glove box out.
Just really what I'm doing is just searching the interior of the car for anything interesting.
Would you find anything?
In the boot, you would find maybe I've got a rifle, but that'd be about it. Or maybe I have some, like, because I've been able to prepare for this, I think I would have some cryptid hunting equipment or something like that. Surely I'd have like cold iron or something like that, like
yeah,
odds and ends.
Yeah, for sure.
Silver.
For sure.
With something.
The longhouse of the 1960s has a kind of informal motto, and that motto is largely you're on your own. So, longhouses of other eras have provided their agents or their investigators with the necessary occult equipment to combat the supernatural. But in the 1960s, where they're somewhat strapped, they're unable to do so. So self-sufficiency is king for members of the 1960s longhouse.
Could I have acquired cold iron?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Cold iron, silver, talcum powder, a flashlight, and a rifle in the boot. That's about it.
Handy.
I lounge in the back of the car and with the windows down, feet poking out one window, my arms sort of up against the other window, having a smoke.
Beautiful. Mikhail, you return to such a scene.
I want to get into the car next to you. I turn and I say, I think I have found something.
Well, that's good. I have a couple of things myself. Do you know they've arrested a guy for committing the crime already?
No, I did not know this.
Apparently a tramp passing through town has been blamed for the disappearance of all four children because he was nearby. And I don't know about you, Mikhail, but I have a saying where I'm from, and that smells like bullshit to me.
What was the tramp's name? I think I found his where he was staying.
Oh, I didn't get the name. I thought the name was Clochard, but that's just the word tramp in French.
Ah. Well, I found his camp. Da. I think he saw something. We should speak to him at some point as well.
Well, he is being held by the police. They believe he was at all four houses. I get the feeling that while Mr. Roden in there wants him to be the killer, the kidnapper, rather, he does not believe that that is the case. And I guess a tramp couldn't be responsible for the same disappearances over a span of 30 years.
There is a conspicuous absence of dust on the windowsill of the boy's room. This may not be much on its own, but in the man's camp, I found a drawing that he had made. Something leaving or coming in through the window. Something long and perhaps red, like a giant snake.
So we're dealing with a snake monster.
Perhaps.
Right. Okay.
It's probably getting onto the afternoon now. It's probably around like 3 p.m. So you might, unless you want to bother people at night, you might kind of only have one more house left in you today.
Was this the first one?
Yeah, this was the first kid missing.
All right, let us visit the last one. Sabrina Rapast.
All right, we'll go see Sabrina, and then I think we might swing by our friends at the Nanterre Law Enforcement Office.
The two of you drive back into town in your tiny, cramped little car.
Do you really like Tchaikovsky, or is that just drilled into you from birth?
Drilled into us from birth, I say.
I always thought so. What about Dostoevsky? You ever read him?
My turn to ask a question. Do you really like exploiting your workers, or is that drilled into you from birth?
That's a fantastic joke. See, the difference between you and me is I could afford a car bigger than this because of the workers that you claim to help.
Fuck you.
You pull up out the front of the two-story flat. It's really close. It's probably like a five-minute walk from the Chartreuse. It's sort of quite in the center of town. You're out the front of it. You pull the car onto the street. Nobody comes out to greet you this time. There's just a little door built into the sort of, you know, like that sort of very European thing where all of the houses are sort of connected. And yep. All the rooftops are kind of all connected above it together. Sort of that kind of thing you're dealing with.
All right, big guy, we rinse and repeat?
Perhaps, I say.
You got a better idea.
Well, it might be cleverer to go in together first and then have a look together second. Look around together second.
Oh, you just want to be close to me.
I literally do not.
Oh, I think you do. I think you want to be near me. That's the whole thing.
I really do not need to be that close to hear you, I say. I knock on the door. You're very quite loud.
You hear the sound of footsteps descending like stairs inside, and the door opens. A kind of middle-aged woman with short hair. She's kind of like pleasantly plump. She opens the door. Can I help you?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Are you the mother, aunt, grandmother, sister of Sabrina Rapace?
I am the mother of Sabrina Rapace. What this is about?
My name is Icarus Fortune, and this is my colleague, Michael. Michael Eisenhower, named after the president.
I want to just be, like, slowly clenching and unclenching my hands. I'm not here right now. Right now, I'm in a locked room strangling you.
So, I am an investigative journalist from America, and I have come to your town to write a true crime story about the series of disappearances that have taken place in this town. I was just interviewing young Toby Roden's father on the outskirts of town, and Sabrina, I believe, was the most recent child to go missing.
You're very lucky that you're very charming. You see, again, like a very similar thing that you saw happen with Joseph, where that kind of like hard exterior just softens immediately. And she's like, we have already spoken to the police, but if you need to come inside, of course, please.
Just be clear, we're not the police. We are here to write a story about the family, so we may take some photographs of Sabrina's room and the house.
I hold up the camera.
To really give the readers an understanding of it.
Of course. Yeah, sure. Follow me.
Wonderful, wonderful. What was your name?
I am Lillian, she says.
Lillian, it's a pleasure to meet you. You can call me Ike.
All right, I will. She walks upstairs. Again, this is a far more modern house. It's, again, probably the building isn't modern, but the inside has some attempt has been made to modernize it. You see a television. It's small and it's black and white, but there is a television in the sort of lounge room section of the
house. Say, big guy, you ever seen one of those before?
Yes, they have that and radio where I am from now as well. A recent addition. Yes, very new.
Must have been in the last 3 years.
Lillian gives the both of you a look like, you know, she's like, why are you talking about this? What are you doing? But she goes to the kitchen table. Can I make you coffee or tea?
Only if you're already about to make one.
I was not. She sits down.
So I just have some questions about Sabrina. She obviously went missing a few days ago, and I'm led to believe that the police have arrested a suspect.
They have arrested who they claim is to blame for taking my child.
Okay, am I detecting that she does not like the police or believe that it's the tramp? Mm.
I'm disengaging with this conversation almost immediately. I am standing up, maybe a little awkwardly, and I want to look around. Not, like, touch anything or move too far away. I just don't want to be sitting down. I just want to be scanning, basically.
Sure. It's kind of like a almost smaller than the farmhouse, this place. You know, it's more centrally located, but there's less real estate. So it's kind of like a central kitchen lounge room area, and then there's one hallway going off it, and that hallway has, like, bedrooms and a bathroom. Yes, I do not believe that the Clochard is to blame for taking my child. I do not think that one man climbed up to the window to my child's bedroom and took my child without any noise or any fuss. That's not what I think happened.
How do you know that is where she left from?
Because that is where we put her to bed the night before.
Specifically through the window?
The window. She leans back and you like in her chair, and you can see that this information she's about to divulge, you think that in the past she has been not, like, made fun of for divulging this information, but, like, it's been shut down or it's been dismissed or ignored. I swear that the night I put her to bed, I closed the window, okay? And in the morning, it was open. Everyone says, no, you left the window open, but no, it was closed the night before.
I believe you.
She seems very pleased to hear
that. May we see?
Of course. She stands up and she leads you down that little hallway and opens the door to a pretty typical 12-year-old girl's room. And you can see that the window opens out onto the rooftops of the town.
How much does Mikhail have to stoop to be in this house?
Yeah, he's stooping. Oh, he's stooping, dude.
Oh, he's a little hunch. I want to immediately move to the windowsill and check for dust.
You can't see any dust on the outside, on the inside, sorry. And this windowsill doesn't extend to the outside. There's no, like, sort of awning on the other side. So you're just not sure.
But there's no dust on this side.
No. But you don't know if that's just because they keep a clean house. Mm.
How often do you clean this room?
Well,
dust specifically.
I have not touched it since she disappeared. But normally, I like to keep a tidy house, she says.
So there would not normally be dust here regardless, I say, gesturing to the sill.
I would try to keep it dust-free, she says. But she sort of shrugs, like she can't really say either way.
Icarus, I give you kind of like a half-meaningful look. Like, this is no dust references the previous place we were at.
Is it a decent drop from the window
to
the ground?
So this window opens out literally onto rooftops. So you could step out of this window and walk along the roofs to feasibly the other windows of other houses. But there is quite a drop. It's the second story to the actual ground below.
I mean, it's not impossible. You could climb a drain pipe. I'm sure you could find a way up. But you'd have to do some acrobatics to make it happen.
I see what you mean about the bum. This is a very difficult angle to get in.
It is horrible to say, she says, but there are easier children to steal.
Did she have any relationship with any other three that have gone missing? I know that Toby and Anita may have played, but the age gap is quite significant.
It's the same again. Jordan is the closest, and he is 3 years younger than her, so... They might have gone to school together, but they weren't what you would call friends, I suppose.
No, and tell me a bit more about Sabrina. Did she a quiet kid, an outgoing kid? Did she
was,
play an instrument?
Quiet. She liked the football. She was quite good at it. She would play with the other children in the streets sometimes.
Did she ever play down by the river?
She might have done. The children do go there, but not while the Clochard has been there, though. He came into town three, four weeks ago, and we made sure that the children stayed away while he was there. Or I made sure Sabrina did, in any case.
Did you ever speak with the Clochard?
No.
He seemed harmless enough until the police arrested him.
She nods. But again, he may have taken the other children, but I do not think he took mine.
Right.
I want to start looking around this room, like I did previously, for things like ash or like a odd smell of brimstone or...
You search around, maybe even like properly, you get down as much of a struggle for you as it is on like your hands and knees, look under the bed, you open cupboards, but you just can't find anything specifically in this room that points to anything necessarily untoward happening.
Does Sabrina ever talk about, I don't know, knowing somebody, seeing someone? Was there someone bothering her at school or hell, did she have an imaginary friend?
No. She says, no, nothing like that. She might have had one when she was younger, but not recently.
No. Oh, fair enough.
She's 12. You would hope she was 12. You would hope that she would grow out of it, which she did.
You would hope. I had an older brother who had an imaginary friend until he was 25.
My goodness, she says. That is a worry.
Yes. The imaginary friend evolved into an imaginary girlfriend he used to write home to us about. He is a very interesting individual, but enough about him.
She gives like a weak smile at that. Like, you know, you've amused her a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
Is there anything else I can help you with, gentlemen? We were hoping to wind down for the day. Or I was hoping to wind down for the day.
Oh, what does your husband do?
He works out of town.
Yeah. Oh, oh.
He's not here all the time.
Yeah, no. Well, look, as we continue on our investigative research, we may come back to speak with you and with your husband just to fill in more of the picture. We're staying at the Hotel Chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
Is it Chartreuse, oui? If for whatever reason I need to talk to an investigative journalist and his photographer, I will come down.
What can I see out the window? I want to just scan that while this conversation's happening.
You're looking out the window, and like I said, it kind of like looks out onto a sea of rooftops, right? Like of stone shingled rooftops. And you can see quite a bit away on the rooftops, maybe like attached to an antenna. Maybe in fact it's the antenna that's powering the TV back inside. You can see there's like a scrap of something on it, but you would have to get out of the window properly to go and have a look at it.
I look very engaged. It would be hard to not notice that I have seen something. Is there a way to get onto the roof?
You can get onto the roof through this window if you are careful out there. Is something wrong?
I think I have seen something. I open the window if I can.
Yeah. The window slides open.
Shh. Yeah.
Big guy, how about I do you a deal? I don't want you to end up in the neighbor's living room by falling through their ceiling with that broad, bulky frame of yours. I am your compass. Guide me in whichever direction you need me to go. I am much more lightly framed than you.
I gesture for you to come over, and you're going to have to squeeze right up next to me so that I can point to you what I'm seeing.
I'll be back in a jiff.
Don't fall, cowboy. That would be terrible. As you're climbing out, I want to call out to you. If you should fall, do not worry. I will be there to make sure they collect all of your things.
You spider-like, and the moment you step out, you realize that this rooftop, that these shingles, they are ancient. Maybe you step out and your foot cracks one immediately, but you use that as a bit of a foothold to scramble up towards the antenna, and then just as you're about to reach the antenna, you stand on one of the shingles and it slides out from under you and down onto the street below. You hear it smash. You slip, grab the antenna, and you can see that scrap. And now that you're close, you can see that it is like a scrap of like
white fur. And as you grab the antenna, it starts to kind of like float away, like you shake it off. You just grab it in time. Maybe you like let go of the antenna, start sliding, grab it, put your hand and your heels in the rooftop, and or your feet are in like the gutter, just at the edge, but you have it in your hand.
Das Vidanya, big guy.
You are leaving, I say.